Welcome to Pebbles of Truth, hosted by Dr. Bruce McCracken, founder and president of House on the Rock Family Ministries. Our hope is that these biblical principles and practices, these pebbles of truth, will help you strengthen your marriage and family. To learn more about this program, visit us at pebblesoftruth.com. You know, all of us experience some marital blahs, those times we don't feel connected. You know, we're not excited about our spouse or our relationship. So today we're going to continue a conversation we started last week on some ways to combat these marital blahs. Well, good afternoon and welcome to Pebbles of Truth, the radio feature for House on the Rock Family Ministries. And Bruce McCracken is with us again this week. And for those of you who were with us last week, we looked at how the erosion of emotional connectedness affects marriages. And we gave you some suggestions on how couples can emotionally reconnect. And for those of you who are listening who missed that show, you're welcome to go out to our website, pebblesoftruth.com, and get caught up. But Bruce, I think you said last week that we would be talking about another source of marital blahs, a couple's unwillingness to address unresolved conflict. Am I remembering correctly?
Well, good for you. You sure are. And Cap, it's important for us to understand that these two areas of unresolved conflict and the erosion of emotional connectedness are intertwined. How does anyone feel loved when the person that's supposed to be loving them doesn't care enough to work to resolve an issue? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of couples are working hard to agree to disagree, to keep the peace, but they're not feeling the love because they can't avoid an unresolved issue without avoiding their spouse in some way. And, you know, when we declare an area of our relationship off limits, how do we achieve that feeling of oneness or intimacy that we're supposed to experience?
Well, I can see that, Bruce.
Yeah, and the way most of us respond to conflict, you know, we use anger or disrespect or we make demands, and that does very little to fan those flames that we were talking about last week. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're kind of flame extinguishers.
You know? That's true. So then what do we say to couples who are dealing with unresolved conflicts?
Well, I think we say when we fail to plan, we plan to fail, but we need to begin to develop a biblical plan for resolving conflict. And I think that starts with Paul's admonition in Ephesians 4 of not letting the sun go down on your anger and mm-hmm. not giving the devil mm-hmm. a foothold. You know, I don't know about you, Cap, but if I go to bed knowing that Karen's upset about something, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Because she has all night to stew on it, and she wakes up even more upset. And now I have two issues to take care of. The first one from last night, and now the second one that she feels like I don't care enough to talk about it last night.
Okay, so we plan to address conflicts immediately.
Yep.
What's the second step?
Well, then we need to make a commitment to put our marriage first. You know, have the attitude that our marriages are more important than the issues, mm-hmm. and it's vital for us to know that our spouses are willing to work with us to resolve these issues.
So we move quickly then to resolve the issue, knowing mm-hmm. that our spouse wants our relationship to be that. To be all that God has intended it to be. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And the third step then is to schedule a safe time and place to meet to address the issue.
Well, I thought you said immediately.
I did, but sometimes circumstances make immediately impossible. You know, you're in the car with kids, in-laws, so you want to acknowledge as quickly as you can that there's a problem mm-hmm. and I want to address this, but you say something like, now's not the best time for us to talk about this. And your spouse then will get the hint that you care enough to understand that there's a conflict and that there's also a plan in effect. And then you need to set a time when you have the privacy enough and the time enough to talk uninterrupted.
That's a good plan. So we've scheduled a time and a place. What's the next step?
Well, now we're going to need to get the issue out on the table where everybody can see it and look at it. And let one of you start and the other listens. Don't be defensive, but be empathetic. You know, try to see the issue from your spouse's position. And then after he or she's done, give the other partner a chance to express his or her feelings and perspectives and explain why they see it as an issue. And then you want to ask yourself, what do you want to see happen? And work towards a solution that's going to honor both of your feelings and your needs and concerns. Mm-hmm. I can't help but think of the verse, Cap, in Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfishness or vain conceit, but with humility, treat others as more important than yourself. And, uh-huh. and Paul says that's the attitude that Jesus had towards us, and that's the attitude it's going to take to resolve conflict.
And Bruce, that's a great verse for all of us to apply in many different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Any last thoughts?
I have two. First, many of us avoid the conflict resolution because we're afraid of the painful communication. And the truth is that the level of intimate communication it takes to resolve conflicts makes relationships stronger, not weaker. And then lastly, this whole process of resolving conflict mirrors our relationship with God. Unresolved conflict, sin, breaks a relationship. And God is committed to make this relationship work and last, and he pursues us wanting to forgive and restore. And that needs to be our model to one another.
Well, thank you, Bruce. So until next week, let's keep building our house on the rock. You have been listening to Pebbles of Truth, a ministry of House on the Rock Family Ministries. To hear this program again or for additional information, please visit us online at pebblesoftruth.com.